Would turn with me, please, to your Bible apps or your Bible, 1 Kings chapter 4, 29 to 34. That's 1 Kings chapter 4, 29 to 34. You see, God gave Solomon wisdom, very great insight, and understanding as vast as the sand of the seashore. Solomon's wisdom was greater than the wisdom of all the people of the East, greater than all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than anyone, wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman Chalcon, and Darda, sons of Mahol. His reputation extended to all the surrounding nations. Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, and his songs numbered 1,005. He spoke about trees from the cedar in Lebanon to the hyssop growing out of the wall. He spoke about animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, emissaries of all people sent by every king on earth who had heard of his wisdom came to listen to Solomon's wisdom.
Ken and I are reminded today of the blessedness of God and His greatness and His goodness. And we just want to worship together to express our love to God in the spaces in which we find ourselves today. We want to be able to gather together in His name, whether that gathering takes place in our living room, out on our deck, maybe a little cold for the deck, but in the spaces in which we find ourselves, not just on Sunday mornings, but throughout the week, whenever we tune in to Whitby Online. So this morning, we invite you to just whisper that prayer to God this morning, that His presence will be real to you and that He will meet your need at this time.
Father in heaven, how we love you. We lift your name in all the earth. May your kingdom be established in our praises. And people declare your mighty words. Blessed be the and is to come. bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guards my heart. Lord, I need you. Is found is where you are,
and where you are,
Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Just as I am. come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms. Praise God. Just as I am. Just as I am, I would be lost. But mercy and grace my freedom brought. And now to glory in your cross, O Lamb of God, I come. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms. And I'm welcome with open arms. And I'm welcome with open arms. Praise God. Just
the scriptures remind us that the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves those who have a crushed spirit. Let's pray today. Dear Lord, we thank you for your promises. We thank you that your promise of love and mercy is for you and I today. Lord, we thank you because you are an almighty God, a God who is with us, a God who understands the brokenness and the crush, the way in which our hearts may have been crushed. And so, Father God, as we come together in this space, Lord, we recognize that there are so many hurting people in the world. There are so many people who are not believing in your love anymore. And Lord, they're reliving pain of loss and pain of grief and pain that just crushes their inmost spirit. And so, Father, we thank you because you are a God that we can come to just as we are. We don't have to put on airs. We don't have to get dressed up. We don't have to cover up our feelings. But Lord, we can come to you and we can just pour out our hearts. And we can give you everything that we have. And Lord, we just now, we kneel before you. We kneel before you crushed and broken. We kneel before you empty and afraid. We ask that you would hide us under your wings, that you will hold us in your unfailing love, that you will hold us in your loving arms, that you will tell us and remind us again of just how much you love us. And Lord, that we would be reminded again that you have called us to be your child and that you will never let us go. And so, Father, we ask this morning that you will help us to let go of the brokenness, that you will help us let go of the pain, that you help us to forgive those who are in our lives that may have caused us wrong. And Lord, we just pray that peace that you give might be overwhelming in our hearts and lives. Lord, do not let us lose hope. Do not let us lose peace. But help us to know your love beyond all love. For we pray this in your gracious and matchless name. Amen.
If you have your Bible apps handy or your Bible, we invite you to turn to 2 Chronicles 1, verses 7 to 12. Or if you just want to listen for now. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what should I give you?" And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great and faithful love to my father David, and you have made me king in his place. Lord God, let your promise to my father David now come true, for you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Now grant me wisdom and knowledge so that I may lead these people for who you can judge this great people of yours." God said to Solomon, "Since this was in your heart and you have not requested riches, wealth, or glory, or for the life of those who hate you, and you have not even requested long life, but you have requested for yourself wisdom and knowledge that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are given to you. I will also give you riches, wealth, and glory, unlike what was given to the kings who were before you, or will be given to those after you."
Well, good morning, my friends. This is week number 2 in our series on Chronicles. We've learned lessons these days about how to restart our lives after being shut down by a national crisis. Our teacher during these series is an ancient scribe named Ezra. Now, after 70 years of exile in Babylon and being set free to restart their nation, Ezra compiled a selective account of the history of his people, and we call his account the Book of Chronicles, or our Book of Recovery. And in this book, Ezra teaches scores of lessons from the lives of the kings on what to do and what not to do when you get a chance to do things over, a do-over. We've learned that God relents when we repent, and that repentance involves remorse for our wrongs and turning towards what's right and giving something costly to God. And today, we're going to learn about Solomon and the gift of wisdom. Now, when you study the life of Solomon, you realize quickly that he wasn't perfect. He did many things wrong, but Ezra here is writing to encourage us, and oh, how we need encouragement in these days. So Ezra is going to write and talk about what Solomon did right. And what Solomon did right benefited an entire nation. What he did right started in his very first year of his reign. Now, as he thought on how to begin his kingship, Solomon did something we might not have thought of. He went to Israel's holiest place, a mountain not far from home. He took with him 1,000 sheep, goats, and cattle. He built a fire on an altar, and he made 1,000 animal offering to God. Now, Solomon was only 14 years old when he did this. Solomon found himself at this young age responsible and caring for 2 million people who all needed leadership, care, and protection. This was the biggest assignment of his young life, so he makes the biggest sacrifice he can imagine. One after another, 1,000 herd animals are slaughtered and hoisted onto the altar. One after another, their ashes rise up towards God. Now, Solomon's offering was a burnt offering. Solomon was saying, "God, all I have is yours, and all I am is yours." 1,000 times over, he said that. That evening, God came to Solomon and asked, "What should I give you, Solomon?" "You can't outgive God." "Solomon," God says, "you have given me your very best. What would you have in return?" In all humility, Solomon answers, "I only want one thing, Lord. I want the wisdom to be able to fulfill the calling you've given me." It's the perfect request. "Grant me wisdom and knowledge so that I may lead your people." Now, all of heaven anticipated God's answers. What would God say to this? How would he respond? And without hesitation, our gracious God responded, "Solomon, since you've asked me for something that will benefit others and not for things that will benefit you, I'm going to give you what you ask for. And I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to shower you with riches and wealth and glory unlike any other king before you." Now, Ezra, who's telling us this story, is teaching us a lesson about rebooting our lives. He's saying to us the best way to have a fulfilled life is to follow God's purposes for your life. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the things you're hoping for will be added to you as well. Now, on the day of Solomon's sacrifice, he was starting his life over again. Once he was a prince, now he was a king. You see, princes can play. Kings gotta lead. So Solomon asks for this incredible thing called wisdom. You see, knowledge is knowing facts and figures and principles, but wisdom is knowing what to do with those facts and figures and principles. Knowledge is about information. Wisdom is about application. It's about knowing what to do in every situation. Now, if you can find time this afternoon or sometime this week, read through the next 8 chapters and you'll discover some incredible things that happened as a result of the wisdom of Solomon. For instance, right here in chapter 1, verse 14, Ezra tells us, Solomon accumulated 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen in the chariot cities and with the king in Jerusalem. Now, those numbers might not mean much to you, but 1,400 chariots was a lot of chariots. When Pharaoh, with his vast army, came riding after Moses and the children of Israel, he only had 600 chariots. Now, Solomon knew that if God blessed his country, he'd need a strong military to defend it. Now, the next verse says in verse 15, the king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem as stones. And he made cedar as abundant as sycamore in the Judean foothills. Now, Solomon knew how to generate wealth. Chapter 2 says Solomon decided to build a temple for the name of the Lord and a royal palace for himself. So he assigned 70,000 men as porters, 80,000 men as stonecutters in the mountains, and 3,600 as supervisors over them. That's in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, Solomon knew the importance of having a place for people to worship God, and he knew how to assign labor to build that place. Solomon's wisdom endowed Israel with the most incredible temple of worship in the known world. And chapters 3 through 8 describe how Solomon built that temple and how he fortified the cities of Israel and how he settled people in those cities so that all people in Israel prospered. If you flip towards chapter 9, you'll see this description. The weight of gold that came to Solomon annually was 25 tons. Imagine 25 tons of gold. And that's beside what was brought to him by the merchants and traders. All the Arabian kings and governors of the land also brought gold and silver to Solomon. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. The point Israel is making is this. Wisdom is a great gift. Israel experienced fantastic blessings as a result of Solomon's wisdom. Israel became the wealthiest nation in the world. Her people enjoyed safety on all their borders, and the whole world experienced blessings as a result of Solomon's prayers. Solomon was wise enough to know that his wisdom couldn't accomplish everything. So this is really a really wise man. And he spent some time, serious time, in prayer. Chapter 6 contains an incredible prayer by Solomon. And chapter 7 contains God's response to Solomon's prayer. This response may be the most famous response of God to prayer in all of the Bible. You'll probably recognize it. Let me say it to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifice. If I shut the sky so there is no rain, or if I command the grasshopper to consume the land, or if I send pestilence on my people, and my people who bear my name humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. You recognize that? It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You want a reboot? As we reboot our lives and reconnect with our world, we would be wise to do those four things, wouldn't we? You see, when you humble yourselves, you admit you're not big and you're not God. And when you pray, you talk to God about your hopes and dreams. When you seek God's face, you think about Him and try to do your day with Him so that His face, His thoughts are always with you and guiding you. And to turn from your wicked ways means to turn from your wicked ways. To not offer excuses and say, well, everybody's doing it, or what I'm doing isn't all that bad. It's to turn from those things that you know are wrong and do the things that are right. This is the key to healing our land. This is the key from recovering well. This is the key to revival. This is the key for a do-over, a reboot. Humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, and turn from your wicked ways. You know who needs to do that in order for God to heal our land? We do. We don't need to call on other people to turn from their wicked ways. God will not heal our land until He first has an army of healers in His hand. Under Solomon's wisdom, Israel prospers. They have peace and hope and a rising economy and wealth. It was a time like never before or ever since. And Israel is teaching us a lesson about wisdom. If you want a do-over, if you want to start your life over and live it at a higher level, you need wisdom. Wisdom is one of God's greatest gifts. Proverbs 8 and 11 says, wisdom is better than jewels, and nothing desirable can equal it. Whatever your desire, money, sex, power, thrills, achievement, recognition, wisdom is better than all of that. So, if you want to recover well, or maybe your life didn't get shut down during this crisis and you just want to live on a higher level, here are the four steps to take, and you can live better than before. Make a burnt offering. Declare a do-over by building an altar somewhere, maybe in your own heart, and climbing onto it. Offer yourself 1,000 times over to God. Give Him your possessions, your position, your rights, your hopes, your goals, and your dreams. Say, Lord, here I am. All I have is Yours, and all I am is Yours. And I remember the story of a lady who was taking up the offering at her local church. When the time came for her to place her offering in the basket, she didn't have any money to place there. She simply put the offering basket on the floor and stepped into it. She offered herself and her life to the service of her King Jesus. Now, the second thing to do to live at a higher level is to ask God for wisdom. The book of James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given to him, James 1 and 5. Once you've asked for wisdom, continue to grow in wisdom. And you could do that by reading the book of Proverbs, the book of Solomon. Pursue wisdom by reading the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs, which means you could read the whole book in 1 month by reading one chapter a day. Billy Graham did that for over 70 years of his life. Every day, read a proverb of the day. Every month, you'll grow in wisdom. Make a burnt offering. Ask for wisdom, pursue wisdom, then walk in wisdom. How do you do that? Well, Proverbs 13 says, the one who walks with the wise will become wise, but a companion of fools will suffer harm. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the phenomenal gift of wisdom, and it's free for us, just for the asking. Heavenly Father, we pray for this wisdom today. Lord, thank you for this wonderful gift. As we emerge from this crisis time, would you give us this gift that is better than jewels? Now, before I conclude my prayer, I want to pray for anyone who wants to make a burnt offering today. If that's you, would you pray these words after me? Lord, all that I am is yours. Lord, all that I have is yours. Lord, please use my life to fulfill your purposes. And I want to pray for anyone and with anyone who wants wisdom. And if that's you, could you pray this prayer with me? Use these words. Lord, I ask for your wisdom today. Give me the wisdom to know what to do in the situation that I'm in. And give me wisdom to carry out the calling that you've put on my life. And finally, the Bible says that Jesus is the author of all wisdom. And if you've never surrendered your life to him, I invite you to do that right now. You can become a follower of his by praying this simple prayer. Pray it after me. Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner and in need of a Savior, and I invite you to be mine. Come into my life and live through me. I am committing to be your follower for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've prayed one of those prayers, it would help you greatly to let somebody know about it. So find someone to celebrate with, and I pray you will know him better every day. May God bless you.